Take Bibles and turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, we're going to look at verses 14 through 18. The message, Calling on the Lord. Psalm 145, starting in verse 14, The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that we understand the importance of calling upon you. We understand the great honor and privilege it is that we, as children of God, can call upon you anytime, day or night. You're always willing to hear from us. And I pray, Father, this morning, as we look into your word, I pray, Father, that you'd speak to each one of us personally. I pray personally, Father, that you would give me the very words to preach this morning, that you would give me the boldness to proclaim your word. And I pray, Father, that you'd give us ears to hear now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When we are talking to God, the one and only true God, by the way, when we're talking to him, we need to be aware of what we are doing. We need to be aware of what we are doing. We need to be aware of who he is. Too many times we just flippantly throw out things to God, and I've mentioned this many times. We treat him as if he is a vending machine, and we just go to him, and we're just going to plug in, God, we're going to give you this in exchange for that. It's like we want to bargain with God. Let's get to the point where we, as God's people, look upon him as who he truly is, and then ask him, knowing who he is and knowing who we are, for the things that he wants for us. See, if we ask according to his will, see, that's the problem. Sometimes we want to ask according to our will, right? Like I mentioned with my granddaughter in the store. I just want one of everything that I like, right? That I want. I don't need the other stuff, God. I just want one of everything that I like. We treat him as if he's going to just give us everything we ask for. Well, that's what he's there for, isn't it? No, that's not why he's there. But we get this idea that that's why he's there. He's supposed to be on our schedule. Every time we want him, every time we need something, every time we want something, every time, and he's supposed to jump at our every beck and call, right? That's not the God that I serve. Because nowhere in the Word of God does it say, you just ask and ask and ask, and he's just going to just keep throwing it out at you. It says that we ask according to his will. So we need to understand who he is. And we need to understand what a great privilege and what a great honor it is to even go into his presence and converse with him. Have you ever really thought about what is taking place when you call upon God? And by the way, if your prayers are lacking in Jesus' name, they're not going anywhere. Because we're supposed to ask in Jesus' name. See, if we ask in Jesus' name, we're going to ask according to what Jesus would ask for, right? I mean, it would be like, if you're representing me, I'm going to pick on Brother Joe here, if you're representing me, you're going to do what I want as my representative. As we're asking in Jesus' name, he being our representative, we are going to ask according to what he wants. And then we are going to get the desires of our heart. Because God's never going to ask for something that's wrong for us. Isn't that interesting? Never. People say, trust me, I did the same thing when God called me to preach. God is not going to ask you to do something that he is not going to equip you to do. So we ask according to Jesus' name, and we get the desires of our heart. Because it's not necessarily what we want, it's what he wants. And then it should be what we want, because it's what he wants. Some of you will catch up later on that one, right? We have to understand some things when we pray, when we call upon the Lord. And he wants to hear from us, by the way, right? All right, take a moment, turn over to Colossians chapter 3:17. Please, try to remember my manners. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Everything we need to do. Aren't we his ambassadors? Yeah. If you're a child of God, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, today you are his ambassador. By the way, you've been his ambassador since you got saved. Are we doing a good job of it? In Psalm 145:18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. In truth. This is the key in having the Lord hear our prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. I've had this conversation with several people over the years, and they go, how can you continually pray without ceasing and ever get anything else accomplished? You're supposed to always be in a position where you can always be praying. Right? You should be in a relationship with the Lord in a way that you should always be able to communicate with him. What happens when we're dabbling in our sin? When we wallow in our sin, what happens? Our fellowship with him is, the answer is broken. Broken. If you're wallowing in your sin, then in your fellowship's broken with God, do you have that communication line open? No. So what we need to do is be in a position where we're always right with God so that we can always be praying. Isn't that great? I like the fact that God's always available. You know, sometimes people call me, it goes to voicemail, I'm not available. Do you know, not once have I ever had a conversation with God where he says, excuse me, I'm not available right now. Leave a message at the beep, right? And then it says, my voicemail has not been set up, right? Have you ever gotten those? I get those a lot. Okay, why do you want me to leave you a message if you've not set up your voicemail? Obviously, you don't care about my message. You probably don't even care about my call. God never treats us that way. God says, everything that you have that you want to come to me with, I want to hear. Be ready. Be in a position to be able to be in conversation with God at all times. He wants us to share everything about our lives with him. People go, but I only need to share the important things. No, God wants to know all about you. You know, when we went and visited the kids over vacation and all, I wanted to hear everything that was going on. I wanted to know everything about how was the move, what took place, what do they like, what do they not like. I want to know I didn't want to know just what happened that moment I got there. I want to know what's been going on. I want to get caught up. I want to find out what's... God wants to hear from us, and he wants to know what's going on in our lives. People say, well, he already knows that. Okay, he does. He still wants to hear from us. He wants to know. Conversation with God can be just like a conversation with your spouse or your friend. Just talk to him. Just let him know what's going on in your life. He wants to hear those things. I'm going to tell you, prayer is going to be a must if you want to make it in this evil, wicked world. You're going to have to spend time with God in prayer. This world is going to get worse and worse, right? That's what the Bible says. So what is our only constant? Because this world changes all the time. In case you didn't know, the governor has said that they're going to remove all of the final COVID restrictions the end of October. I have a question. What happens between now and the end of October? November's coming, in case anybody wanted to know. Isn't it interesting? But what changed? Do you know that every time they make a change, it's always going to be effective down the road? Okay, if you know it's okay then, why is it not okay now? I don't know about you, but people ask me all the time, so how are things going to be in real estate a year from now? And my answer is always the same. My crystal ball is cloudy. I can't see the future. I can tell you what God says is going to happen in the future. He didn't tell me if the market's going to be up or down next year, by the way. It doesn't say that in the Word. So I don't have any. So how do they know 6 weeks from now, or whatever that turns out to be, 5 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it is, how do they know that things are going to be different then? They can't see the future. Only God can. And trust me, judging from what they're doing, they're not following what God's doing. So they're not relying on that. You are not going to be able to live in this world in your own strength. You're going to need God's strength. And He wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to rely on His power. He wants us not to lean on our own understanding, but on His. But on His. He provides His power through the Holy Spirit. He gives us what we need. We just get plugged in. He's the Lord, the Holy One. Turn to Isaiah, if you would, please. Isaiah 43. We're going to look at verse 3 and then drop down to 14 and 15. Verse 3 says, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." Then drop down to verses 14 and 15. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in those ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." This should both humble us and give us confidence to think that the Holy God of Israel, the Creator, the Savior, the King, loves us so much that He provided a way for us to become His children. I think we take that lightly sometimes. That Almighty God loved us so much. Now, let's not just limit that to us, because He loved the entire world, right? For God so loved the world that He made this way that we could all become the children of God. There's a lot of people that, like, you know, I wish I grew up in royalty. If you're a child of the King, does that not make you royalty? Think of it. I think we take it too lightly. And we look at what's going on in the world and all, we say, man, the devil is winning this war, isn't he? No. The Bible tells us clearly that the devil is losing. In fact, he's already lost. His days are numbered. But we get our eyes off of God, we get our eyes on these things, and we forget that we're on the winning side. But isn't it great to know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords loves us so much? I had a guy ask me one time, "Can you explain the love of God?" No. I know who I am. Why would God love me? Let's be honest. You know who you are. Why would God love you? Some of us, not so lovable, right? At times. We all have our moments. Let's not be holier than thou here. We're in the presence of Almighty God. Let's be honest. We're not always so lovable. We have our moments. But God still loves us, right? Maybe we should take a page out of his playbook and say, maybe we should be loving people when they're not so lovable. God loved us so much, he made a way that we could be his children, that we could call him Father. Pretty special. Pretty special. He gave his son to die in our place, to pay a price for our sins, so that we would not have to die that second death. Can you imagine? I've read enough about hell to know that I don't want to go there. I've read enough about hell that I don't want anyone to go there. People say, well, there's some evil, wicked people in the world and they deserve that. Folks, we all deserve that. That's what we all deserve. But wouldn't it be great if all the evil, wicked doers in the world were saved and changed their way of thinking? We need to call upon the Lord. We need to ask him to save people. If you don't have a list of people that you pray for daily for salvation, you need to get one. Because there's no shortage. No shortage. To call upon the Lord, we can go before Almighty God with a specific request. Sometimes we just pray generically, right? God, if there might possibly be anyone in the world that needs your help, please intervene, right? Pretty generic. But we have some people that have specific needs. Brother Rojas this morning, we would like to see 50 people in next week's service. Would you pray that 50 people would show up next week? Now, I can't make 50 people show up. But I can pray to Almighty God who can lay on people's hearts that 50 people show up next week. Wouldn't that be amazing? How about here? Anybody been praying that people would show up here? Every day. For years. I've been praying that God would fill this house. From the nursery to the senior adults. Every day. For years. I believe one day he will. If we don't believe, why should he answer those prayers? I mean, as a child, would you go to your parents and say, excuse me, but I know you're not going to let me have this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Be kind of a waste of time, wouldn't it? The Bible says we're supposed to pray believing. I believe that God can hear and answer our prayers, and I believe he does. And I believe if we ask him specifically for what we want. I've been praying for a children's ministry, the need of a children's ministry. Wouldn't that be great? People say, but then all those handprints on the doors and everything. I would love to see fingerprints on the doors again, wouldn't you? Not adult fingerprints on the doors, by the way. Just thought I better put that out. I know how you guys act. I say something like that, and you'll take it literally and go out and I'll have handprints on all the glass. We need to go to him. We need to reverence him when we approach him. When we summon the aid of Almighty God, we need to do it as we reverence him for who he is. God wants us to call upon his name. The good news is I'm back and I haven't preached for 2 weeks, so I've got 4 pages of notes and that's page one. Aren't you guys in for a treat? You keep amen in me, it might go later. No. What does the Lord want us to call upon him for? Ever thought about that? What does God want us to call upon him for? We can call upon him for our material needs, right? Anybody have a specific material need that you went to God and there it was? He took care of it. It's amazing. But you might say, God already knows all our needs. What do I need to go there for? What do I need to pray to God about the needs that he already knows I have? In fact, his word says he will supply our needs, right? Look over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, please. Matthew 6, verse 8, it says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him." He already knows, but he wants you to ask anyway, right? He wants to be the Father that's providing for his children, and he wants to know from you what your needs are. Isn't that great? God wants us to ask. He wants to know. He wants to provide for his children. He wants to hear from us. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can boldly go before the throne of God. Isn't it great that Jesus Christ made us a way that we can boldly go before Almighty God? With our needs. We are a needy people. Trust me. We are a very needy people. And yet God wants to hear from us. God also delights in blessing his children. He loves to bless us. Do you know the devil's children cannot go before Almighty God and ask for anything? They have no access to God the Father. They are not his children. They can't do it. Until they ask, they have to repent of their sins and ask for forgiveness of their sins, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to become a child of God so they have access to him so they can go boldly before the throne of grace. Until then, they can't access God. They have no way to. Kind of interesting, huh? That we can go before Almighty God and ask whatever we want as a child of God. When John F. Kennedy was president, his son was known as John John. Had this relationship with his father, and it was different than all the world leaders at that time. World leaders had to come and before the President of the United States, and they could have a meeting with him if they scheduled it. John John could just run into Daddy's office anytime he wanted. Different relationship. See, we can go before God the Father anytime we want because we have a relationship. We have a relationship. As a child of God, we have that privilege. James, if you'll turn to James chapter 4, we're going to see another reason why we end up not getting. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Sounds like we could ask and still not get. We're asking with the wrong motives. We're asking for the wrong reasons. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. Then Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Notice that says need. Doesn't say won't. Says need. We have these grandiose ideas of what our wants and our needs are, and God knows exactly what our needs are. Right? I hate to pick on some people, but we don't need 700 guns. 699 maybe, 700 no, right? We don't need 47 cars. Twist that blade and add a little salt now, right? We don't need 82 fishing poles. 79 maybe, 82 no. I mean, see what I'm saying? We don't need all the things we think we need. Now, God may have given you a fishing pole so you can go out fishing and you can catch so you have something to eat. I get that. If you have two arms, how do you do 82 fishing poles? I don't want to know. No. I don't want to know. I also want to know how you fire 700 guns with two hands. Okay. I'm just saying. We have these desires that are not needs, they're wants. And I'm just trying to make a point. If I stepped on some toes, well, you probably need to talk to God about that. We can call upon the Lord for deliverance and shelter from trouble. And we do, don't we? We should. God wants to hear from us. He wants to know what's going on in our lives. He wants to have that relationship like the father and the child. Don't you want to know? As a parent, don't you want to know what's going on in your children's lives? I mean, our kids are grown. We got grandkids. I want to know what's going on in their lives still. Sometimes you have to pry it out of them. It'd just be nice to tell me what's going on in your life. I just want to know. Just nice to know. God says when we call upon him in the day of trouble, he will hear. He will hear. And thank God, he does. I like the fact in Psalm 91:15, he says, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." He is the source of our safety and our security. He's there for us. The Almighty God. I got to tell you, there's no threat, there's no obstacle, there's no danger, no matter how great, that's greater than God. Doesn't matter what it is. But have you seen what's going on in the world? I've seen what's going on in the world. Nothing compares to the Almighty God. Do you think anything is difficult for him at all? No. Not at all. There was a missionary. His name was John Patton. One night, the hostile natives surrounded their mission. The intent was to kill the Pattons. That was the mission of these natives. That's what they wanted to do. Patton and his wife were filled with terror as these savage beasts surrounded them. They just knew that this was their demise. So they began praying that God would protect them. God, please, please protect us from our enemies. And in the morning, they were amazed to see their attackers leaving. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Why did they just all of a sudden leave? A year later, the tribe, chief of the tribe, was converted to Christ. Patton, remembering what happened, he asked the chief this. He said, "What kept you from burning down the house and killing us?" And to the surprise of the chief, he says, "Who were all those men with you there?" Patton knew that there were no one else present. That was him and his wife. That was all that was there. The chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. They had prayed for protection. And God heard and answered their prayer. In Psalm 86:7, it says, "In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." We can go to the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all life, the giver of life, right? And we can ask. Ask. We can go to him daily for guidance and strength. We can also, over in James, it talks about wisdom. If we lack wisdom, what do we have to do? Just go to him and ask. It's another one of my prayers. God, give me wisdom in leading and directing the church. Right? You want somebody with wisdom leading and directing, don't you? It'd be nice if we had some leaders with wisdom and right now, wouldn't it? We need that. We need that. God has promised to be our guide. He knows where we're headed, and he offers to be with us on the journey. Isn't that great? You don't have to know. In fact, I've been asked several times about flying. I don't have a problem flying. I really don't. I can get on a plane and not worry one bit about it. People say, "How can you just flippantly get on a plane when you have no idea?" I said, "Because I'm not trusting in the plane. I'm not trusting in the pilots. I'm not trusting in the crew. I'm trusting in Almighty God. And if I am supposed to go, then I'm supposed to go. And if I'm not supposed to go, I'll make it safely to where I'm headed," right? It's pretty simple. How can you get behind the wheel of a car? There's some crazy people out there, I got to tell you. I don't know if it's as soon as they get their hands on the steering wheel or if it's when the key goes in the ignition. I'm not sure exactly when it happens, but I think they lose all senses. We might all fit into that category, by the way. And there's some crazy people out there. How can you get behind the wheel of a car? I'm not trusting in the car. I'm not even trusting in other people to do what they're supposed to do. I'm trusting in Almighty God. And when we do that, you can ask my wife, we've had a lot of near misses. And I'm not talking like feet near misses. I'm talking like centimeters of near misses. I'm surprised that we've gotten no damage to the vehicle, no damage to us. I'm just amazed. God is watching over us. If it's not your time, it's not your time. But when it is, it is. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Yeah. He wants us to call unto him. In fact, he tells us to. Don't you want to see great and mighty things? I do. All men everywhere are invited to call upon the Lord. Everywhere. They call upon the Lord for salvation. Everyone's invited. There's none that are left out. The Bible tells us there's no difference between Greek or Jew. All can call upon the name of the Lord. In order for men to be saved, they have to call upon the Lord. It's the only way to do it. You want salvation from condemnation? You've got to call upon the name of the Lord. If you want freedom from God's wrath, then you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Pretty simple. This word call signifies to make an appeal. To make an appeal. For the believer to call upon the name of the Lord is to confess our sins and to appeal to him for mercy. Right? If you've appealed for that mercy, then there's still, if you have not appealed, excuse me, for mercy, there's still distance between you and God. Remember I said our relationship can be broken. Communication lines are cut off. Because we're dabbling in our sin. One of the things we have to ask is, if God's not answering our prayers, what's hindering that? And I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be on his end. It's going to be on ours. Ask for his forgiveness. Confess our sins. It's kind of like asking for our needs to be met when he already knows what they are, right? If you're already saved, you go, well, why do I got to ask forgiveness for? Anybody mess up today already? It's easy to do, isn't it? Be so nice if we were just perfect, wouldn't it be? Instead of just thinking we are. Be nice if we actually were perfect. Wouldn't that be nice? I'll tell you, one day we're going to be in heaven and everything's going to be perfect. Our forgiveness was provided for at Calvary's cross. Do you realize that back then, I know some of you think I'm old, back then all of my sins were future? Every one of them. Every one of us, our sins were future when he died upon that cross for us. But we need to remember to confess our sin so our relationship that time when we can converse with God can stay open. Our sins are forgiven. If you're a child of God, your sins are forgiven. It does not mean that you can go out and sin all you want. It drives me nuts when people say, I can sin all I want because I have a license to sin because God saved me. Somebody show me from the Word of God where it says that. In fact, the Bible says, shall we sin all the more? And its answer is, God forbid. God forbid that we should even want to. When we call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, we are saying that He is Lord and Master of our life. He's not going to play second fiddle to you. He is Lord and Master, not you, not me. We can also call upon the Lord for a renewed spirit. Psalm 86:5. If you'll turn there, please. Then we'll have one more scripture and then we'll close. 86:5. It says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And then the last one, Psalm 51. Verses 10 through 12. Psalm 51, starting in verse 10, says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We need to be seeking God's will and always give Him the praise and the glory for everything. For everything. He's always going to lead us in the way we should go. Maybe not in the way we want to go, but in the way we should go. And we need to be praying as He told us to. Pray according to His will. He will hear and He will answer. But if we're in a right relationship with Him, we will be praying according to His will, because His will and His desires will be our will and our desires. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can call upon you anytime. We thank you that while we are in a right relationship with you, you hear our prayers and answer them. And Father, you want to hear everything about our lives. Even though you know it all already, you want us to come willingly before your throne of grace and share with you what's going on in our lives. We thank you for that. We thank you that you care so much about us, that you love us so much, that you want that relationship with us. Father, this morning, if there's anyone in our midst that's never accepted the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, today would be that day. For those of us who've accepted that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray, Father, that we would understand when we call upon you what we're doing, what that truly means, and how we should come before your throne of grace. So, Father, this morning, we'll have this invitation. We'll turn it over to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.